2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalaos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. At the top of the hour, we talked about insects, earwigs specifically, and ways that you can trap them. And you can find out more about that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. Take a look at the USU Extension Service's website or worksheet that helps you out on those traps. But Ton, a couple of our listeners are also asking about diatomaceous earth. And does that work well with earwigs or other insects? How would you use it?
It can. The earwigs will get it in their joints as they walk, and it irritates them. It'll slow them down. It may kill them. It's not as effective against earwigs as it is against soft-bodied insects, but it still is something you can try. The other challenge with diatomaceous earth, which what it is crystallized or fossilized diatoms from the ocean, that if you rub the diatomaceous earth in your fingers, it feels like talcum powder. It's just quite smooth, but microscopically it's quite jagged. And it, as it gets in the insect's joints or a caterpillar rubs across it, it will cut them up and it kills them that way. So it is not a physical poison. It's more of something that's an irritant to something that cuts things.
Okay.
So people like it because it's not physical poison. The disadvantage is every time you irrigate, if the diatomaceous earth gets wet, you have to reapply it because it works its way into the soil.
So it actually does kill the insects in the garden.
It does. It's better for cutworms and other things that crawl on the ground that are soft-bodied, but it will get into the joints of hard-bodied insects like earwigs and slow them down and irritate them and maybe kill them.
Okay, sounds terrible. Okay, next person wants to know if you can use garlic as a perennial instead of picking it annually.
Garlic is biennial, but it does self-seed and it does produce little bulblets, so it will spread that way. And so if you wanted to leave it, that's fine.
All right, let's take our next caller. That is Heidi and Sandy. Good morning, Heidi. How can we help you this morning?
Hi.
You have a problem with your oak? Sounds like a similar problem to one that I'm having.
Yes, I we were out of town and I got a text from a neighbor saying that our tree was dropping leaves and she was afraid it was dying.
Well, have you seen any pictures, or not pictures, but have you seen any of the symptoms? Because that, yes, it's dropping leaves, but that unfortunately doesn't get us very far on what's going on.
Okay.
What else are you seeing with it, Heidi?
Well, just that the leaves are dry and crunchy and falling to the ground, and it doesn't seem to be just from a particular area of the tree. It seems to be pretty random.
Well, Maria texted me some pictures that I shared with other horticulturists within the USU Extension system. And if it is the fungus that Maria texted over, no one really knew what it was. It was the problem we run into also.
I never stump you, by the way. So this one was like, what?
Yeah.
You don't know?
So we're going to have to do some more investigation on it. But we are seeing this at random points around the Wasatch Front. And it becomes challenging because the oaks are native and there are many, many insect pests, insects and diseases and other pests that can get into them that may not be common for a 10 or a 20 year period. And all of a sudden it's their year. And because they're what we'd call endemic to Utah, they're native and they're usually not fatal, even though those oaks are losing leaves. What's happening hopefully won't be fatal, but we are going to be looking into it further to where we can see if we can figure out what's going on. I want to work on going through the process of collecting a sample, getting it up to the lab, and then seeing what the lab can come up with. Sometimes even USU labs are inconclusive, but I guess what I'm saying in a roundabout way is we're seeing things, but we don't know what it is.
Okay, so you would need pictures and then an actual physical sample?
Yeah, what you would do, if you just go ahead and do like a Google search or an internet search, depending on the particular search engine you like, that one's for Dave, but if you will do an internet search and just search Utah State USU Pest Lab, you can download their paperwork and just mail the sample in. And what they'll have you do is probably put it in a paper bag or an open plastic bag in a box and get it up there, probably mail it on a Monday so that it doesn't sit over the weekend.
Okay. So you're concerned that it's a pest, that it's not just
Well, I'm concerned that it might be a fungal disease. I don't think it's drought related. These trees have been here for thousands of years. They've done drought,
right,
and they conserve water very well. And so I would more suspect that it's an insect problem or maybe a fungal disease.
All right.
Heidi, does the trunk of your tree show any signs, any weird signs at all? What are you seeing on the trunk of the tree?
No, to me it looks, I went out and was looking at it this morning, and it seems normal to me. I'm not seeing, you know, any sap dripping out of it or any holes or anything like that.
So when you take your pictures, will you also take a picture of the bottom of one of the healthy leaves? Because the dry leaves, you don't see anything, like whatever might be impacting it seems to be gone. But
a picture of one of the
take a look at the bottom of the leaves and see what you see on the bottom of the leaves.
So on the undersides, and then what you would do, if you do decide to submit a sample to USU, you would want to include healthy leaves along with some dead so that there's a progression and not just the dead stuff, because the dead stuff is really hard to tell anything from.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll go to that website then and go from there. I was hoping that it was just drought related.
Me too. I tried that too on Ton, and he said, nope, don't think so.
All right.
Thanks, Heidi.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks for backing me up, too. And Ton, I am going to ask our listeners, if they are seeing that with their oak trees and just the dead leaves suddenly in the middle of summer, if they would text, or how could we do this in a way that we could actually see how widespread the problem could be?
Well, they could post pictures on the Facebook greenhouse page, or they can't really text pictures in over the text line. That doesn't accept pictures.
But they could tell us where they live and if they're seeing dead leaves.
The city, and if they're seeing it, and if they wanted to upload some pictures. I don't know that it's like super widespread. I know Southern Utah County, I've looked and haven't seen much, but this is one of those things that it's just really hard with some of these just native pests and diseases that may or may not show up. So I am really interested in probably getting Savannah your way and see if we can collect some samples, get them up to the pest lab and see what they can find out.
So Heidi lives in Sandy, but I live in Holiday, and I know that my trees aren't the only ones affected in Holiday. So yeah, if you are living in another area, or even if you live in Holiday, you could just, don't text us a picture because we can't get pictures on the text, but do just say, hey, I'm having a problem with my oak leaves and the city. And then maybe we can get a better idea, better grasp of the situation. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. And you can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Ton, before we leave the topic of scrub oak, one listener saying that they have small 1/8-inch red, yellow, and orange bumps on some of their scrub oak. Any idea what that could be?
Well, it could be a lot of things. There's a lot of wasps.
You're laughing at us now. We are concerned about our scrub oak.
Only laughing because there's so many things that gets into scrub oak. You could be a horticulturist and just devote all your time to scrub oak or
Seriously.
The gamble oak, and that's what you would do.
Oh,
I just don't usually worry about them that much because, like I've said, they're native. They're adapted to a lot of different things. The native insects and diseases have kind of, you know, get them, but it's a relationship that usually isn't fatal.
You're saying calm down, Maria. I hear you.
Well, not really, but when you start seeing these little galls that are different color, it's usually caused by various wasps. Now, I'm not thinking like the traditional ones that sting us. There's many, many species out there. And they're called gall wasps, and they live in there while they're going from egg to adult, and they'll come out, but they get on the leaves and form all these little kinds of bumps and things on the leaves.
Okay. Well, you tell me to calm down, but you know what? When all the leaves are falling off your tree in July, it's a little bit upsetting.
It is. And I never said calm down.
I know. I said that. Those were my words. Let's go to Jordan, who's in Providence. Good morning, Jordan. How can we help you?
Hi. I have a Jonathan apple, and the bottom of the leaves have brown spots on them. And I'm not sure if that's a fungus or if that's a mite or an aphid that has done that.
It's not aphids, but it could be fungus. It could be mites. It's really hard to say. Now, are you seeing the spotting? Has it just been over the last 3 or 4 weeks that it's starting to show up, or what's been the pattern?
Yeah, over probably the last month, but the spotting is only on the older leaves. The new growth doesn't have it.
Okay. So whatever it is contained to the older leaves. New growth doesn't have it. If it were blister mites, then it would be on the new growth also. Hannah, have you sprayed the tree with anything?
With dormant oil, and that's it.
That's it. So you haven't sprayed for codling moth or anything?
No.
Okay. So I'm just trying to figure out, because the dormant spray would have knocked out some of them. The best I'm really going to be able to do for you is to maybe have you upload pictures to our Facebook page of the leaves, or send them to your local extension office. Now, if the new growth doesn't have the spots, that gives me hope. Now, are the spots spreading on the old leaves?
The spots stay about the same size, and they're about 1/8 inch in diameter, and just speckled all over the bottom sides of the leaves.
Boy, it really could be blister mites on there, apple blister mite. The thing that gives me hope, as I said before, is that you're not seeing it on the new growth. So you're not seeing any dead branches or anything?
No, not yet. The leaves, I don't know. The leaves that have spots don't look like they're the healthiest. But there's not dead branches.
Okay, I'm just trying to eliminate fire blight, which the pattern doesn't fit, but I just wanted to be sure.
The tree has had fire blight in the past, but no, this is different than that it's had.
Yeah, without pictures, it can be really hard, but my suspicion is that it's probably blister mite, but if you wanted to submit some pictures to our Facebook page, just shoot them with your cell phone and upload on the messaging portion of the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. I can take a further look at that to see if it is or if it's something else. There are a few fungal diseases it might be, but the spotting like that, the most common thing is blister mite.
Okay.
All right, Jordan.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for your call this morning. A similar question on our phone lines, Ton. So I want to go to Clark, who is in Lehigh. Good morning, Clark. And what is your question this morning?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You hear me okay?
Yes. Go right ahead.
Great. So I have two nectarine trees. I think they're Red Gold is the brand or the type of them. And I first noticed that one is kind of delayed when it came to blossoming, about 2 weeks from the other one. The one seems to be thriving more than the other. And then I noticed there was a bunch of little small holes, like little BBs, into the leaves. And when I take a closer look at the actual fruit that started to come in, one is worse than the other, and it had like these little like crystals. I don't know if they're little larvae on them as well. In fact, one of the fruit themselves actually kind of withered and kind of dried up like a raisin itself. So what I did with the one tree that was worse than the other, I just cut off all the branches on the one because it just seemed like it wasn't going to produce anyway. But the other one that's thriving, I'm still trying to like save the fruit, I guess. But yeah, anyway, so that's kind of where I'm at.
Well, on the one that's unhealthy with the holes in the leaves, it sounds like you have a disease called shot hole or crinium blight. It's the same thing. It's a fungus that gets onto the leaves. It can get into the buds and it gets on the fruit, and it causes infections in the spring that will later fall out of the leaf and leave little holes behind, hence the name shot hole fungus. So, and some varieties of nectarine are much more susceptible to it than others. And so you can have an orchard full of different varieties. Some of the trees will be decimated and some of them may have a minor infection, and just is really dependent on the genetics of the tree. So the one that you cut the branches out of, I'm assuming that's the tree that had the holes in the leaves.
Well, they both have holes in them. It just seemed that the one that I didn't cut back is thriving a lot more still. And maybe there'll be a little bit of scarring on the actual fruit themselves from it. Anyway, I'm not opposed to cutting back all the leaves that have holes on them, or I guess I'm calling to see if I can spray.
Put your pruners away for now. So I think you're describing some different things, because crinium, not only does it get into leaves, when it gets more advanced, it'll knock out limbs, or at least branches. And one being more healthy than the other could point to irrigation problems, or the one that's unhealthy maybe having a fungal disease in the roots that isn't killing it, but it's holding it back as far as health. So I don't think that you have just one thing going on.
Okay, so I guess the end question is, do I just let it run its course, or can I still spray like with some copper at this point, or where do I stand, I guess?
You want to, what city are you in?
I'm in Lehigh.
So send some pictures over to, because you're in Utah County, send some pictures to the web address, or not web address, the email address, gardenhelp, all one word. So gardenhelp@usu.edu. And that is the Utah County Horticulture email for the Extension Office, and Meredith and Savannah take a look at those. But instead of taking the shotgun approach at, you know, do I spray copper? Do I spray an insecticide? Let's take a look, because I know that you do have crinium and that could be causing problems, but the one that's less healthy, I think that you've got a girdling root, you've got root disease in it. There's something else going on that's causing it to not be healthy. I also think you have two different varieties if one blossomed a couple of weeks later, even if they were tagged the same.
I guess that could be the thing. Yeah, because that was kind of curious to me, as one was delayed to the other.
Yeah, because if you have two Flavor Top or two Goldmine nectarines, they're going to bloom at the same time. And if one blooms a week or 10 days later, they're not the same variety.
Well, those little shammers.
Well, it's something that when you have hundreds of plants come in and you're trying to tag and you're relying on, you know, high school help or whatever it is, it's really easy to get things confused. So oftentimes the trees are shipped in that way, and it's not too common, but it does happen more frequently than you'd think.
All right, Clark, thank you so much for your call this morning. And thanks to all of you for listening to the KSL Greenhouse. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, you've done a video, Ton, on the greater peach tree borer that we're going to to talk about. And we do have some peach tree questions as well. So stay with us for more coming up on the KSL Greenhouse. And you can check out all of our features on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.